Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see things from a very different perspective. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com. And remember, I spell Kevin like the number 7. Be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Weekly Wisdom. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now, on to the KevCast. Thanks so much, everybody, for tuning in to the KevCast. I'm Kevin Winder, your host. And today, I want us to talk about going or leaving. You see, I started this blog over 2.5 years ago when I left the church. Actually, that's the wrong term. I didn't ever leave the church. I actually stopped participating in the weekly distribution service. I'm very much a part of the church, the real church, the big one. Not the small little zip code, the little salvation projects, the little pet projects, ego-managed things that are going on many street corners that are struggling to keep their doors open, trying very hard to be relevant in a modern world. Those are the things that I left behind. The part that is redeeming the world, making it better, serving people with a heart of love and inclusivity, kindness, generosity, goodness, all those things that are part of the ultimate description of what the church is, those are what I'm a part of. But I left 2 years ago. I started a blog kind of talking about this exile. It's called thriveinexile.com if you want to check it out. And recently I did a post, and it was one of the highest, most reviewed, forwarded, tweeted posts that I've had in a long time. And I think it just touched a nerve. So I'm going to start this podcast today by basically going over it. And this is all about going and leaving, going and leaving. And what does that mean? What is that all about? Well, you know, I like to say, if you followed me for a little while, you know that I had a little venture that I called Repot Connect, and it really came down to a metaphor that I was using that I observed in the lives of people. And basically, it's like those little plants that you get at Home Depot in the springtime. They come in these little tiny plastic containers, and the seedling is super happy. The seedling, when you put the seed in the dirt in that little tiny pot, it is great. It is exactly what the seedling needs until it starts to grow. By the time the plant starts poking out of the dirt, it's already starting to spread its roots throughout the dirt in the pot. And it's not very long before that seedling would actually be suffocated and stifled its growth. So you've got something that could go and grow and thrive and produce fruit that ultimately would be killed and die within its formative container. And so that is what this is all about. That's what I'm all about. My life mission and passion is all about helping people break free of those formative containers. And I want to ask you today, what are you leaving? In the back of your mind, what is it that you just know it could be better? Is it your marriage? Is it your job? Is it your church? Is it your religion? How many things, how many times are you going to beat your head against the wall and realize that's never going to change? But part of you knows it could be better. Are you going to leave your political affiliation? Are you going to leave that community of people? Are you going to give up that destructive habit? You know, all those things are found in our lives. And we reach pain points as soon as we get to the limits of what that offers us. And just like that little pot, we need a new container. But, you know, what do we pick? How do we know what's the right thing for us? This is the question of life. This is really what most people are wondering about. In my ministry, I'm focused entirely on helping you get a new set of categories so that you can be repotted, so that your life can flourish, so that you can finally bear the fruit that deep down in your life you know you can. So your life, like that little plant, is going to require a new container. It's going to need more space. You need fewer boundaries, not more boundaries. You see, we all come to the limits of our containers. Now, for some people, the rules simply become unbearable. They're just not big enough to, you know, fit into our world. We have questions that our churches don't answer or won't answer or can't answer. So the tension and the pain causes us a pressing up against the limitations of these systems. So when that happens, a lot of times people just quit. They stop fighting. They just settle in for a life of taking the shape of whatever container they're pressing up against. I see this all the time in religion, and especially in the Christian church, where most people come to the limits of their faith or their tradition or their dogma or their theology or their understanding of the Bible. And that's it. That's where they stop. They feel like going further is sin. Going further diminishes their view of the Bible. And they won't answer questions outside of that. And they stop and they take the shape of whatever that is without ever growing. Now, I don't want that. I didn't want it for my life. I know you don't want it for yours. But after a while, if you do that, you're going to just take the shape of the container and you're going to face a very slow death. And it's going to suck. The outside your container, outside in the world that you kind of wanted to go to and you deep know, those are all going to be people who got out. And they are going to be the most painful reminders of the expanded self that you forfeited for the protection of those walls. Now, how do I know that? Well, since I've left the church, I have faced all kinds of persecution, all kinds of criticisms and critiques, people saying I'm losing my faith, I turned loose of my Bible, I'm not even a Christian anymore. It's just unfathomable in the lives of some people that a God could still love me, right? Still want a relationship with me or lead me or bless me or sustain me if I've turned loose of the little delivery system that man has created in the name of God. So, you see, I know that I remind people on the inside of what life could be like if they would just be brave and bold and take that step, but they can't. Some people can't. But there are other people who can. Some people can just never settle in. The dying that's required to stay does not seem like a noble thing. You know, if you're on the inside, they always spin staying inside as the noble right thing to do. They always spin it as though that's what God is pleased with, is you got to stay inside the walls, inside the parameters, inside the fence, and God will be happy. You venture out, and man, you're a heretic. You venture out, and you are on the slippery slope to burning in hell. Oh, the fear mongering goes up. Oh, man, I'll tell you, it gets noisy. Trust me, I've heard it, and I've seen it. Yeah. That system is simply going to, you know, take your life because, well, actually what it's doing is it's giving you a trade. It's saying, you give us your energy, your belief, and we'll give you an identity in exchange. You give us your energy, make our system work. You keep our bills going. You keep this thing afloat by your belief. And in exchange, we'll give you an identity. We'll give you some sense of security, some sense of belonging. We'll tell you you're okay. We'll validate you. We'll work with you. But if you leave, you're hosed. We're not going to be behind you. You're going to be exiled. And so some people, like I said, just can't settle in, and the dying required to stay doesn't seem noble anymore. Instead, it feels like an eternal and a permanent death. And that life means I got to get out in order to live. It's a survival thing. Leaving and going is survival. So what is it that calls some people to leave their formative container and other people to stay stuck? What is it that calls you out? I liken it to the call of Lazarus out of the tomb. You know, are you hearing a voice saying, Lazarus, insert your name there? Is it calling you to come forth out of the grave, out of death? I think so. You know, when I was living in my formative container, or the matrix, you can call it your delivery system, whatever it is you want to call it, I believe that those who left did so because they were rebellious or they had some kind of deficiency in their character. The insiders always have harsh words, threats, or judgments for those who'd leave. Now that I've left, I'm way more likely to see a person leaving not as rebellion, but as integrity. But integrity to what? What is it that calls people onward or upward or deeper or further? It's not instinct. See, we all have instinct. It's the herd instinct. We like to do what others are doing. Now, being called out, being called beyond that herd into a lonely exile, that comes from a voice that you simply can't disobey. Now, people have many words for this. I mean, if you watch movies, gosh, there's how many movies are like The Shawshank Redemption that tell the story over and over and over? We have phrases. We have movies. It's all about an escape. It's all about liberation and a hunger and sacrificing so much for the sake of being free. Now, it could be like an inner city person. Maybe it's a child who desires to free herself from being another generation on welfare. Have you ever seen this, where their education surpasses those in their family, where they once they start getting smarter, once they start learning about the world, they start talking different, bringing up new questions that the family of origin, the original container, doesn't have the bandwidth to deal with. So they ridicule the person's learning and saying, oh, you're starting to talk like those people now. They insult them. And sometimes they threaten them. Well, if you leave, you know, you're not going to be part of our family anymore. But that person, maybe it's a young girl. She leaves the projects to go on to her better life, but her rising up comes at this cost, the cost of her original identity. Have you seen that? Have you seen a man or a woman who finds themselves in an okay marriage, but it's a marriage that has been terribly dissatisfying? Leaving it comes at huge social, financial costs, especially if they're part of a church system. Most churches simply reject divorce flat out. It's not possible. Now, a person who's doing that is judged and criticized by the insiders. And mostly it's those insiders who have settled for very dissatisfying marriages themselves. They figure, gosh, if I have to put up with a crappy marriage, God should only be pleased if you have to put up with a crappy marriage. And so they come up with these ideas that God is most happy when we have sucky marriages. That's not true. God would have us go deeper. But sometimes you can't go deeper in your system. The system isn't deep. It has no capacity to go deeper. And when that's the case, wider is your only option. But some who stay have chosen duty over love. They tell, you know, this person who would leave their marriage that true love is not even a real thing, or that it starts out that way, but real love is just painful and it's a grind, that they're going through a midlife crisis, that they're going through some other kind of phase. They all say something like that. They push back at the riser upper. And they say that, you know, your rising is going to come at your cost. You're going to be alone. We're not going to be behind you anymore. I really think this is what Jesus meant when he said, if anyone comes to me and doesn't hate his own mother or father or wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life. And he said, you can't be my disciple, a student. In other words, if we would follow that call that calls us to our most authentic self found in God. We must first escape our false self as defined by our formative containers. I think that's what he was getting at. You're going to have to love the life that you know you can have enough if you're ever going to leave the life you've settled for. Now, I'm convinced that the call to leave in order to grow is the voice of God. And it comes through all people of all denominations, in all religions, in all situations, in all economic stratifications. God calls us out of our tombs, out of our formative containers. Those are necessary when we're young, but we get to a place we know they don't ring the bell anymore. So the voices that keep us small or stuck, those are all surrogate gods. Those are some kind of a religious shadow figure, even an adversary. And they'd all have us not go after our truest self or our best possible life. Those are voices that tell us to settle. Man, those seem the most sinister to me because they convince us that our efforts won't work or that the pursuit of freedom itself is actually sinful or wrong or broken. You know, Abraham is the patriarch of the world's three monotheistic religions, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. Now, the story of Genesis 12:1 says that Yahweh told Abraham to go from your country, to leave your kindred and your father's house to a land that I'm going to show you. Excuse me. We know that this land was the promised land. Of course, Abraham doesn't actually get there personally. It was generations later that it sort of happened. Now, I mean, this story may be historical, but it's not the historical details that make it a useful, helpful, true story. It's true because it's true on a much higher level. You see, it's the story that emerges between the lines that is so helpful. It's a story of a man who purportedly had a great faith. Hebrews 11 raves on about Abraham and his faith. He believed and he followed this calling voice, and it required him to leave his family, his origin, his formative container, and enter an exile. He had to go into a desert and wander. You know, the journey never really ended with him. He passed on this yearning to find it. He passed it on to his kids. And so did Isaac, and so did Jacob, and so did Joseph, and 400 years of descendants. And finally, Moses himself got to look upon the promised land, but he didn't even get to go in. And when Joshua did enter, it was anything but peaceful. It was a constant war. Abraham was the father of a nation of exiles. The first church, perhaps. You know, we all leave when we're leaving something. We all leave by thinking that the arrival of the land the Lord will show us is actually the goal. It's not until we're in the exile, when we've forfeited our power, we've given up our belonging and our solidarity, our friends, that we discover that the land that we're going to is actually the self that is forged by the journey. The going is not a means to an end. The going is the end itself. It's the end of oneself, and it's the birth of another self, your true self. This dying and reliving, it's a cycle. And it's a story that's so archetypical, you can see it everywhere. It's the messianic story. It's the cosmic Christ living in you. You, the journeyman. First, you question your system. Then you reject your system. Then you're rejected by your system. You're betrayed. You're slandered. You're relegated to the sidelines, you're diminished, and then you're hung out to die outside of town. Sound familiar? Well, that's the Christ story. I bet you had no idea that you were following him. But just look at your life. If you're following that call, you're stepping right into his footsteps. That thing that you want so bad, that deep part of yourself that you know is not going to be satisfied in the system that you're in, and so you're willing to risk it all in order to go get it, that's your real life. That's your deepest self, transparently grounded in God, as Soren Kierkegaard would say. Your life is actually a modern retelling of the same story. Now, here is a brain buster. Check this out. When Adam and Eve disobeyed, they did so because they were trying to possess the knowledge of good and evil. They were striving to expand themselves. They were leaving the confines of their formative container, the garden, and its rules in order to expand themselves. The amazing thing here is that they were never more like God until after they left. Genesis 3:21 and 3:22 says that they became like God, knowing good and evil. So if I ask a person who's a Christian, which the word actually means little Christ, they're trying to be like Christ. Trying to be like God or God-like. That's the whole sum of every world religion. You know, God sent them, as in Adam and Eve, just like he sends you. He sent them out of the garden. He put an angel with flaming swords to block them from ever coming back in. Yeah, it was couched in the story as a punishment. And we kind of get this idea that Jesus was the backup plan. Well, oh, crap, now I got to go down there and die on a cross and save people because they screwed it all up. I'm coming to believe that was not even the case. The garden was never the goal for humanity. The exile absolutely was, because it was in the exile that God could most beautifully display his role and power in the world. You see, you suffer, and then you rise again, just like I do. But each time you rise, you're a little bit better than before, aren't you? You're a little bit bigger than before, aren't you? Solidarity that I have now is with those who have escaped the clutches of that thing that would entomb them and imprison them. They've burst out of their own grave, so to speak. They've resurrected. And I have not anger towards those in those systems any longer, because it's not an either or, it's a both and. So I have compassion for those who have not yet escaped. I know they are being called out. They just need the courage and the power to take the step. Is that you? If it is, I can help you. Reach out to me and let me know how I can help you. You see, once you're free, and you see that, and the compassion comes for those who aren't, you're free then to go back. You can go back to the formative container. I can go back to churches, and I do. I visit them. I've been, and it's good. I see the goodness for what it is. But it's like revisiting your kindergarten class. You realize the chairs and the desks, they're all so small. Your feet and your knees don't even fit under the table anymore. And you realize, hey, this was good when I was young. It was good at an early stage, but this can never be my home again. And at that time, you realize you've been saved. That voice that called you saved you. I hope you guys have enjoyed this podcast. Please reach out to me, write me. Give me some feedback. Let me know if you liked it. I certainly hope you tune in next week or to the next time I do this podcast. Thanks so much and have a great day. Thanks so much for tuning in to the KevCast. It really means a lot that you give your time and energy to this. It's my goal that this content is challenging sometimes, but mostly helpful, inspiring, and encouraging to you. It's my goal that in the end, you become a much better person. And guess what? I'll become a better person if I hear from you. I welcome your feedback, good or bad. I'd love to start a dialogue with you. If I can answer any questions, please reach out to me at my website, www.kevinwinder.com. Now, remember, I'm a member of the Experts Academy, and I help people who want to understand spirituality to make sense of their religious experience so that they can clearly see God in the world. Until next time, have a great day.